History, by definition, is a collection of facts which are taught in order to create a better understanding of truth. Recent changes regarding the teaching of black history in Florida plays very loose with that definition, to say the least. Rather than facts being strengthened, they're being watered down in that teaching. Many, including my next guest, have been angered by this change in the curriculum. This issue also connects very directly, very significantly to his new best-selling book, Lies About Black People, How to Combat Racial Stereotypes and Why It Matters. Long being an international speaker, poet, author, he's professor of intercultural communication at American University. Dr. Omakango Dibinga, how are you today, sir?
Oh, I'm great. I'm happy to be here.
And we have links for the good doctor's website and I was going to say Twitter account, but I guess we have to say now what's left of Twitter the way that's going. But that's another talk for another time. Let us go to the chase here. I'm reading directly from the Florida Education Policy. It's a total of 216 pages. If you want to check it out later at our downloads page on our website, you can do so. It's on page 6. Examine the various duties and trades performed by slaves, agricultural work, painting, carpentry, tailoring, domestic service, blacksmithing, transportation. Under that, benchmark clarifications. Clarification 1. Instruction includes how slaves develop skills which in some instances could be applied for their personal benefit, which, knowing what I know of history, that overlooks quite a few things. Well, first of all, it's amazing how so few words can dismiss so much, but it ignores how this isn't vo-tech we're talking about here. This is, they're sort of passing over the capturing, taking from their homelands. I think in 99% of the cases, I would kind of think they had at least some sort of level of those skills before they were brought to this country.
Well, absolutely. I mean, look, we mastered the metals thousands of years before we were enslaved. I mean, look at the Great Pyramids, look at the the great statues, bronze statues in Benin and the like. The fact of the matter is that you enslave a people primarily because they already have the skills that you lack and are able to do the work that you don't. And really, at the end of the day, we have to be mindful of the fact that there's no benefit to anything that comes at the expense of your freedom. Period, bottom line. And that's where people need to start. When I think about the Holocaust, where would the Jewish community be if they didn't have to deal with, for now, what, 80-plus year trauma of what happened to the Holocaust? And I heard somebody say, well, there were people who worked at factories, synthetic rubber factories in camps like Monowitz, during the Holocaust, where so many people died. I would never say, oh, they learned good skills in those camps. No, nothing that comes at the expense of your freedom is something that you want to talk about as a benefit. And we extend that to other groups. We need to extend that to us as well.
Is this just a matter of, in this case, the Florida state education system, just trying to wash away as much of the evil of slavery as they possibly can? It's just, again, history is not difficult to present. It's a collection of facts. Where's the challenge of wanting to adhere to the facts, good, bad, or indifferent, so that we, those who ignore history, it's an old saying, but maybe because it's so true that it's been so old, if you fail to know history or learn history, you're doomed to repeat it.
Well, what it comes down to is that there's this mindset of this idea of, white people feeling guilty and other things, right, if they're taught this history. But my philosophy has always been, teach the full history. It wasn't like every white person enslaved everybody. There were white upstanders who were out there, who were fighting, who were abolitionists. And they're like, teach the whole history so our kids of all backgrounds can be inspired. And furthermore, people are talking about, white children feeling guilty. But as I talk about one of the poems in my book, nobody cared when I was being made to feel guilty in our schools when they were teaching us that we only were descended from slavery, that, we're more likely to be criminals and the like. So you got to teach the history in full. And furthermore, to the first part of your question about is it just an attempt to whitewash history, the answer is yes. And part two, it's already been happening. There have been books that have been coming out in the last few years that refer to people who were enslaved as immigrants, as migrants, as migrant workers, and refer to slavery as involuntary relocation. So, and back in the 1800s, people referred to slavery as a peculiar institution. So this is right in line with things that have always happened to try to deny the experiences of black people. And it not only hurts black people, it hurts all people who interact with black people, because you're looking at them as less than. And if you have the ability, the thought that they never did anything, you're going to think they can never do anything, and you're going to treat them accordingly in your education system, in your hiring practices, and so many other things.
And this goes well beyond in Florida, in Texas especially as well. It goes beyond the teaching curriculum that I detailed here a moment ago. We can go into book bans. I mean, in Florida, there are book bans involving biographies of these terrible radicals like Rosa Parks and Roberto Clemente. I mean, someone please draw the line where insanity is, so I know when this is going to stop.
It's not going to stop until we stop it, I'm starting to see stories of parents going to these school board meetings and, taking back, the stories from what the people like the Proud Boys and Moms for Liberty are doing. Yeah, books like Rosa Parks, books on Malala, and, they're expanding it into everything that doesn't just highlight white cisgendered men. And so people talked about, people aren't going to ban things, that relate to Jewish people. That's not true. You see the graphic novel Mouse that deals with the Holocaust as part of the ban. And so the point we have to understand is that if we're in this together, we have to really be in this together. You can't wait for people to come for your community, however you define it, and then get in the fight. You have to speak up for each other. They always start in this, and you know this better than anybody, they always start with targeting black people first, because they know that some people even who might be considered liberal and are white, have what Dr. King called, freedom on the installment plan for black people. This kind of mentality of, we've done enough for black people, okay, but this has gone too far. We've done this, we've done that, stop complaining. But once they officially get us on these book ban lists and all this other thing, then they start going for everybody else, for Latinos, for LGBTQ, for Jewish, for women. That's historic. And we know the history, as I talk about in Lies About Black People, we're better equipped to fight it.
Talking with Dr. Omokhonkwo Dibinga, author of the book Lies About Black People, How to Combat Racial Stereotypes While It Matters, omokhonkwo.com, and on Twitter at Omokhonkwo, Omekongo. But, we have those links over at our homepage, so no need for the spelling bee right now, and you're listening to Issues and Ideas. With your book, Lies About Black People, stereotypes, let me focus on that word for a second. What's the difference? Is there a difference between the foundation of a stereotype, the foundation of racism?
They're closely connected, right? When you look at racism, the racism as we know it now, or the creation of racism as we know it now, was created in the mid to late 1400s to justify our enslavement. So when you go back to any period before that, you don't see references to how we describe people today. It was created. And so with that creation came the stereotype that black people do not know the one true God, even though in African countries we have monotheistic God systems. They don't know the one true God. They're savage. They're lazy. They need to be taught to work. So the stereotype about black people accompanied the racism that was used to enslave us. And then the flip side of that stereotype was that white people are superior. White people know the one true God. White people have the Protestant work ethic, and that's how they were able to achieve their greatness. And so, yes, the idea of stereotypes and the idea of racism, they're deeply connected. And in one of the chapters, I talk about, whiteness and how whiteness has been something that's been created, and how Irish people were not considered white at one point, and Italians were not considered white at one point, but they were able to get into this thing called whiteness. But you can't have white superiority without black inferiority. So they're both stereotypes that are used to help support the status quo that white supremacy has always been about in terms of keeping black people down. Not white people. I'm talking about white supremacy, the idea, because there are more, in my opinion, more white people who are for equality than against. I'm speaking specifically about those who want to deny us our rights.
Does any responsibility fall upon the black community when it comes to how stereotypes have been strengthened for so long, biases have been allowed to flourish for really so quickly? What is the black community missing steps that they need to take to overcome what they're being subjected to?
Well, I would say it's a yes and no thing. The first part I would say is that from the beginning, there have always been black people and to this present day who have actively fought the stereotypes in all areas of the work that we do in law and entertainment and so on and so forth. But the other side of that is there have been, you know, black people who have, particularly in the entertainment field, have gone out and promoted the stereotypes about black people and have helped support, you know, spread those lies. And so you can go all the way back to people like, you know, Stephen Fetchett in the old school movies, even though he helped financially in the civil rights movement and other things like that, the image of the lazy black male kind of promoted that stereotype. Some of our entertainers today in our music world and in the film world are out there promoting some of these stereotypes. So there are, and for us, it only takes like one or two, right? Yeah, so you see somebody like Ice Cube from the legendary hip-hop group N.W.A. out there doing stuff with like Tucker Carlson and all of these other types of people. So, yes, we do bear some responsibility, but more of us have been fighting to end and combat the stereotypes than to support it. And unfortunately, there's a financial infrastructure in this country that I talk about in the book that has helped too many black people get to the top who want to get out there and use those stereotypes to make us look bad and lazy and savage and as sexual predators who want to just get out there and do whatever we can with the first person we find, which I also talk about in the book.
Dr. Dominguez does indeed present the facts and the truth, which pain a lot of people. But then if there's no pain, then is it really the truth when you think about that? And one thing I really think stands out among the many elements of your book, Lies About Black People, Dr. Dominguez, is you present, they're called My Anti-Racist Journey, individual stories of individual people who aren't just reading, shaking their heads and feeling disgusted. They're getting up and they're doing something. You look at, I'm going to talk about this a little bit later on with a biblical reference in the book of James, where it's written, faith without acts is dead. For anything to happen, action has to be done, not just thoughts and prayers.
That's right. Absolutely. And that was one of the things I really love about the book. You know, I could have gone out and interviewed other activists of different backgrounds who are doing the work, but these are just everyday people, multiracial, multigenerational, who are just talking about some of these stories are from other black people who are just talking about the lies that they were told and how it affected their lives and what they're doing about it now. Some have become more activist minded, but some are just doing basic things like making sure that there's diversity in the authors that they read or making sure that their kids are having diverse experiences because when they were young, they learned so many negative things about black people. And some of these people in these interviews, they say they really regret the friendships they could have formed, the experiences they could have had because they were believing in these stereotypes. And so that's one of the things I'm proud of in this book is the interviews as well as the activities that I provide for people at the end of chapters to also talk about their racist journey. And lastly, on that point, they can also go to liesaboutblackpeople.com and actually do a questionnaire and share their own racist journey as well for those who are reading it.
That's why Dr. Dominguez's book is fully informative and teaching, not preaching. It's not pointing fingers, trying to find blame. It's really looking for solutions. When you read, for example, those individual stories, you'll see yourself and say, you know what? Why am I not doing that? Because I can do that, making a difference.
That's right. That's right. Every single day.
It's a must-have book, Lies About Black People, How to Combat Racial Stereotypes and Why It Matters, liesaboutblackpeople.com, omakongo.com on Twitter, @omakongo. We have them all linked at our homepage. Dr. Omakongo Dominguez, you are a doer. You're making a difference, and you're helping us look at the truth and see it, not just what we want to see, but see it completely. Thank you for doing that, for being here.
Thank you for having me. Thank you so much.